T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your chance to win the big whiskey prize pack. That is our 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening. We give things away 7, 8, and 9 o'clock on the show at least.
At least.
A lot of days there's much more than that, but yeah. 7, 8, and 9
and
just
9:30,
for listening.
We're trying to give you $1,000.
That's true, too. I mean, just
handing it over.
We're givers. Ryan makes it very simple to win.
I do like to keep it easy on the people. Just listen and dial. All you have to do is listen for this.
Bone stimulators.
Oh, my goodness.
What did that say?
The bone stimulators. It was when Alex Rios had a broken hand and they were using a bone stimulator on it. You think they're going to stimulate Tyreek Hill's bone?
I would think.
All right, they better. They need his ass out there. Stimulate that bone. Is that what Robert Kraft was?
Correct.
Robert Kraft also weighed in.
We all love Gronk, and I think the bottom line is he hasn't put his retirement papers in, so we can always pray and hope.
Sean Levine, also an active user of the bone stimulators.
How good is your life where you're going to bed praying that Gronk comes out of retirement? Like, that's how good you got it.
Again, let's not waste the notorious G.O.D.'s time with praying for Rob Gronkowski return to the Patriots.
Gronk's return is in God's hands.
Right, so God's up there, and everybody's saying their prayers, now I lay me down to sleep.
I pray Rob Gronkowski's soul to keep.
Right, yeah. And all of a sudden you get this voice, and it's Bob Kraft, and he's maybe praying. You're praying for what, sir? I got other
and
things to worry
about. And why are you drunk?
About. Yeah. Yeah, maybe this is your drunk
That's like,
prayer.
I like Gronk, too. He was fun, but I'm not weighing in on this one.
Dear Lord above, I need Gronk. Thank you, Robert.
God this week's like, I'm not weighing in on Gronk and the Patriots or China and the NBA.
Right.
I'm just out.
I'm out.
You guys solve it.
Why is there a 50 taped to your chest? I don't get that.
It seems to me you're wasting your prayers. Like, if God's going through where he's ranking things, getting Gronk back to the Patriots is
let's,
not high.
Let's reel this one in. Next time you hear caller number.
Yes.
Pick a number, Bob.
Caller number 12.
I thought you'd go 87.
I didn't want to go that high.
Good. That's good. Next time you hear that, droppy caller number 12.
For 12-year-old scotch.
That's 913-576-7610. Next time you hear that.
12-year-old scotch, a staple in the
craft.
And I will get you hooked up with...
Dear God, we're 6-0, but we need Gronk. If you could please bring him back.
A big whiskey prize pack's all yours. I'll go first. The Chiefs win if.
Brought to you by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home for luxury automobiles for over 50 years.
I say the Chiefs win if they can rush for 90 or more yards. It's been a real uphill battle for the Chiefs running game. Hit or miss, really. Like, what was the last game? 30-something yards. It was not good at all. The Texans defense, though, has allowed 90 or more yards in 3 of the 5 games so far this season. 2 of them were losses. So, you know what? Establish a damn running game, and I think you could win this.
Yeah, I think you can, too. And you're going to have to establish a running game because that will keep your defense off the field. And that's very important.
I also think the Chiefs will win if they can sack the quarterback. We talked about it a little bit already, but Watson was sacked 6 times in both of their losses. So 2 6-sack games given up by the Houston Texans offensive line already this season. Both of them were, not surprisingly, losses. So if the Chiefs can get to the quarterback, if Frank Clark can do more than just set the edge.
6 is a high number.
I'm not saying get to him 6 times. I'm saying just get to the damn quarterback.
Okay.
Who are you counting on to do that?
Don't worry about it, Bob. Right. Don't you worry about it.
I was going to say your prayers tonight for a sack. Dear God.
Little person I like to call, you'll see. Okay?
We should just get the quarterback.
And lastly, I think the Chiefs lose if... It's pretty simple. They'll lose if they can't stop the run, right? 3 straight games of 180-plus rushing yards. You don't even need to do the math to figure out
that's
terrible.
It's amazing they only have 1 loss.
That's terrible. That is terrible.
That's terrible.
Stop the damn run. I feel like a 100-yard rushing game is like still a win at this point. Like 120 below that, somewhere in there, that's still a win, right? God, moral victories suck.
Kidding. Bone stimulators.
Chiefs win if Kelce finds the end zone. He's got to score some touchdowns. Not only just giving production, yeah, but like find the end zone with Travis Kelce. I think the Chiefs win if he gets in the end zone. And I know, Fesco, you think he's going to have a big game as well. Chiefs win if they get two first quarter scores. I'm putting a lot of this week on the offense. Score early. Put a team on their heels a little bit. Help out your defense by putting a team on their heels. Teams have dictated what they want to do against the Chiefs. Chiefs used to be the ones in the driver's seat in that, and they haven't so far this season, especially to start games. So get up a couple of first quarter scores and let's go.
Chiefs used to be the Jimmy Johnson of the NFL.
Which is what?
In the driver's seat, man.
The race car driver,
yeah,
Jimmy Johnson?
Oh,
I was thinking of the hair.
Oh, God.
And the coach,
no, the
Jimmy Johnson. I was trying to figure that one out. And the Chiefs lose if I'm not as afraid of the running game. I know the Chiefs are no good stopping the run, but I'm not as afraid of the running game as I am big play opportunities from the passing game. So I say Chiefs lose if Fuller and Hopkins score multiple touchdowns.
All right.
They get multiple touchdowns from their wide receivers. Chiefs lose.
Chiefs win if they don't turn it over. The Texans have caused a turnover in 18 straight games. Think about that. 18 straight games the Houston defense has caused a turnover. So if the Chiefs don't turn it over, they will win. The Chiefs also will win if Patrick Mahomes has multiple touchdown passes. Multiple touchdown passes, and the Chiefs will win. Now, the Chiefs will lose if Travis Kelce doesn't have at least five receptions and a touchdown. Time to play big, 87. Time to play big.
You're calling for him to have a big game.
Yes, I am.
That is Chiefs Win If, brought to you by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home for luxury automobiles for over 50 years. We revisit on Mondays at 9 o'clock, see how good or bad we did. Show from Show and Vern, Carrington Harrison from The Drive. They join us for the Chiefs Roundtable next.
Fesco in the morning.
Boys don't take these shots to play better. It's just being out there and being physical and playing nasty. And the only way you can do that is just, you know, by working on your practice habits and doing the things with practice that you want to carry over into the game. And, you know, hitting and tackling and just having that attitude where, you know, the offense is trying to come at you. They're trying to score points on you. And, you know, you're trying to stop them and get the ball back to your offense.
Former Chiefs linebacker Joe Mays joined us earlier in the show. He joins us 8 o'clock on Friday. He's also part of the Players Only show, 6 o'clock Thursday nights here on 610 Sports Radio. About the attitude of the Chiefs defense. You'd like to see him play a little bit more mad. It is our Chiefs roundtable. Cho from Cho and Vern is with us in studio today. Good morning, Cho.
Oh, good.
You had a fantastic rip move on me. Yeah. We need to probably bring up in a moment. And Carrington Harrison from The Drive also with us for the roundtable. Thanks for joining us, gentlemen.
We appreciate you having us on today.
Yes, as I was coming back in the studio, Fesco,
yes.
Ron was trying to leave the studio, and we were doing that awkward bump, like, yeah, right into each other. Ron put on a sweet. It wasn't your best, I think.
No,
I
mean, it wasn't
you
that
you
good.
You had a really good rip move. I'm like, wow, that was impressive.
You go show Frank Clark that video?
Yeah, it wasn't as good. I could hear my coach.
Oh, that is so funny.
I could hear my coach at Blue Springs High School, Coach Poe. You didn't get your legs through. It was just all arms. I got to get my legs through to get skinny, and I didn't. It was just hard for me
more
to get
reps.
Skinny, but I didn't get my legs through to get skinny. Yeah. So, yeah, more reps. I mean, it was all right. It was, I mean, a little bit better than Frank.
Yeah.
But it was all right.
It worked on me. It worked on me.
I'm just kidding. Like, calm down.
No, I mean, it's funny, though, because I was listening to you on Wednesday, and I'm in the car, and I'm laughing, and you're like, in on Frank Clark, right? Like, everybody knows that the show, not a big fan of the way he's playing right now, nor should anybody be a big fan of the way he's playing.
Should anybody?
Right now. No, that's what I'm saying. No, nor should anybody be a big fan of the way he's playing right now. But so I get in the car, and sometimes when you get in the middle of a conversation, you know, you're like, oh, my God, what did I miss? Did something happen? Did something get said at the – because it was just after the press conferences, and you're going in on Frank Clark, and I'm dying laughing because everything you're saying is right, man. I mean, like, he's your guy this year, though. Like, every year you get one of those guys where you just – you're going to watch every single play. He's your guy this year, isn't he?
He's just the highest-paid player in franchise history. He is the missing piece that you moved heaven and earth to get.
Yeah.
And he's not a difference maker. He's been Alex Okafor. I mean, and so, yeah, I tell people, oh, God, why are you going to talk about Frank? You talk about Frank. But he's the highest paid player in franchise history. Like, you had somebody here who, on all accounts, had a better season, any kind of voting thing, had a better season than Frank did last year, which understandable. He's 25. He's ascending. He's more healthy than D Ford ever was.
Mm-hmm.
But you moved a first and second round pick, which are valuable, and he's doing this. And I'm just talking in my head with Frank. Like the other day, I said, man, well, you know, I said maybe Andy needs to have a come to Jesus meeting with him. Maybe because Andy, because I don't know, because they've anointed him a leader already, even though he's never been a leader on a team in his life. But they've anointed him a leader, so can't nobody say anything to him. Maybe Tyrann Mathieu, but nobody can say anything to him. So I feel like it's up to you, Andy. You brought him in. You made the call. Trust me, that wasn't Brett Veach. You made the call on paying him that type of money. Maybe you need to sit down with him and talk to him and say, is there something that we can do? Are you injured? Is there something that Spats can do to help you? Because this is 5 weeks now. This 5 weeks. As me and Carrington were up there watching the game Sunday in the press box, he's not being double-teamed on the sideline. Even though some people may think anywhere he walks, he's being doubled and triple-teamed. But he's not. Like, something has to change, like, because I feel like they've coddled him. Oh, he's being double-teamed. No, he needs some tough love at this point, I believe.
Yeah, and I think the whole double-team thing is, like coaches and people will say stuff to your face in press conferences because they don't think you're actually, like, watching the games and paying attention, and they can make things up and try to talk over your head a little bit. But that's not the case. I specifically watched Frank Clark a lot last week, and every chance I got, I was looking for those high socks and looking for number 55. Like, where's he at? And I'm going to see what he can do. And more often than not, he would make initial contact with an offensive lineman and just kind of stop, like there was no follow-through, like trying to get by the offensive lineman. And that was the frustrating part for me is like, all right, you're making initial contact here, and then you're standing straight up and kind of becoming a non-factor, and there was no need to double-team Frank Clark in last week's game. So the double-team stuff is not something I'm buying with him.
I'm willing to be a little bit patient and give him this week. Deshaun Watson gets hit more than any quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
He's the only pass rusher on the team. We had this stat a couple days ago. Frank Clark has 35 career sacks. Everyone else on their defensive line has 40 now with Chris Jones out. They only have one pass rusher on the team. If you can't get pressure against the Houston Texans, what team in the NFL can you get pressure against? So I understand what Ron is saying, and I don't disagree, and I understand the frustration with what Frank Clark has done so far. If he can't get pass rush in this situation, then we really got to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with Frank Clark.
And I think that's fair to have that point of view as well. I think you're saying, all right, here's an easy test for Frank Clark this week, right? Probably the easiest test he's going to have. Let's see what he can do. And they're going to need him this week because they got nobody else out there that can do it.
Which means they'll get double and triple teamed, right?
Go ahead, Kier, because this entire conversation is not the third highest paid defensive player in the game. This isn't a guy you traded a first and second round pick that now we move the bar to, all right, I'm going to give him this week against the weakest team. All right, or he's being double teamed, and look how much he's being double teamed. Or my favorite. Oh, we didn't need Frank now. I just want Frank to perform when it matters. Go to hell. Are you kidding me? You paid him all this money and trade him. He needs to make an impact every game. You don't say that about Pat? You don't say that about Mahomes? Oh, we just need him to perform when it matters. No, you don't. You need him to perform every week. Mm-hmm. Like you're talking about with Kelsey. No, hell no. You're a great player. We need you to perform. We don't want Kelsey. Oh, we'll wait for Kelsey in the AFC Championship game. To hell we will. We're paying you this money. You're thought to be – this team is supposed to work with you playing at this certain level. Well, I get what you're saying, and you are more patient than I am, Carrington. But, man, when you are paid like he is and when you are and they moved everything for him, I can't get to the point we've reached Alex Gordon territory of – boy, I hope he gets a walk today. Well, I hope he could do it against this bad team. That's where we are with Frank. Oh, hell.
Last year, I went through something very similar with Sammy Watkins, so I do understand Ron's frustration. Like, I try to talk about the important players on the team. Like, I'm not wasting my time on the show talking about Armani Watts. He doesn't factor
right,
in anything.
Exactly.
So I talk about the guys who are important. So I'm with you when it comes to Frank Clark. No, I definitely understand your frustration. This is kind of where I've been at.
Guys want to be paid the big bucks, but then they got to step up and earn that money, too.
Absolutely. This is where I've been. In the very beginning of the season, everybody said, oh, you know, we got to give this defense 6 to 8 weeks to gel. We understand it's going to take some time to implement the scheme. Man, the first time the defense sold any crack, people were ready to pounce on the defense. I'm willing to give them until the Packers game. They got two more games. That will be at their seventh game. The eighth game is against a team they could potentially play in the Super Bowl. I'm not hearing any more excuses about time and continuity and all that stuff. When they play the Packers here in a couple weeks on Sunday Night Football, it's go time for me. And that's when I'm starting to evaluate the defense differently. But I said at the very beginning of the season I would give them time and I'd be patient. So I'm still going to be patient. They got two more games of patience for me.
I can't believe he's more patient than I am on this defense, because I said four games. I didn't even talk about the defense for the first 4 weeks of the season. You gave him 4 minutes. But I gave him 4 weeks.
I was the first preseason drive.
I don't give him four. My partner Vern gave him 9 weeks. I don't give him four. I totally agree with everything you're saying about the defense. All right, I think,
but they've gotten worse.
I don't agree with that.
I heard you say that
this morning driving in. I don't think they're worse. I think, and we're going to talk about this today. I think some people have forgotten. Somehow we've gotten to week five, forgotten about that 2018 defense last year. I feel like some people need to go pop on some YouTube footage. Go see the number that Blake Bortles did in the passing game against this Chiefs defense. Go watch some of those games. That defense who gave up 30, it seemed like, routinely.
Well, they gave it up through the passing game. The passing game is
and the running game last year.
But they're getting ripped at 180 yards a game.
They couldn't stop anything last year. I'm with Ron when it comes to the defense. I think that people... Like, all I heard all summer was, we just got to get the 19th best defense in the NFL. What do you think the 19th best defense in the 2019 NFL looks like? It looks kind of like the Chiefs defense. You're going to have problems stopping people that, man, every game the Chiefs hold a team under 20 points, they should win. I don't care who they're playing. They should win that game. That I'm not saying the offense is the biggest problem on the team, but they're not. But the reason they lost their last game was not because of their defense. They lost the game because of their offense.
Carrington Harrison from The Drive Show from Show and Vern in with us. It's the Chiefs Roundtable. CDOT had a hypothetical we're going to discuss coming up next, and your chance to win $1,000. Be listening for that keyword next.
Fesco in the morning.
It's 1,000 on the 30s. Text the word ZAP, Z-A-P, ZAP, to 72881. That's 72881. You could be the $1,000 cash winner in the national contest. 610 Sports Radio, the only sports radio station in Kansas City. Give you a chance at up to $8,000 each weekday. Listen on the 30s from 9 to 5. Your next chance at 10:30. Complete rules, 610sports.com. ZAP, Z-A-P, to 72881 for your chance at $1,000. Carrington Harrison.
I always get the hard words. I don't ever get zapped.
He had one yesterday he couldn't spell. What was the one? Small or something he had struggled
yesterday? I didn't struggle with tattoo.
Oh, tattoo. That was
we were just joking that we were spelling it like tattoo from Fantasy Island, which was not the way
Tatooine.
To win.
Or Tatooine.
I get like eligibility and stuff.
No, don't even know that.
Carrington Harrison for The Drive.
Text available. What about thorough? You know, what are those where you spell like through?
I get convenient. Yeah, those are my words.
University.
Gun to my head. No, I'm dead.
Convenience, you'll never be able to spell it.
Yeah,
right?
I always get that.
Convenience.
Refrigerator. You get real nervous.
Twice on the sheet. You just have to be no more nervous though than reading the sheet to make sure you spell the word
right.
You
ever get onomatopoeia? Has that ever been a word?
That has never been a word. Never been a word. Carrington, you posed a hypothetical yesterday on the show, but also you were going around, as you do, you go around the station and shoot videos of us giving your hypothetical answers. But you had one yesterday involving the quarterbacks and the coaches for this matchup Sunday.
Yeah, the question was, if you were an owner of an NFL team and you could start your team with a certain quarterback-coach combination, would you rather have Andy Reid and Deshaun Watson or Bill O'Brien and Patrick Mahomes? I was curious because I think your normal inclination is to always take the quarterback, but the quarterback, you get Bill O'Brien to be his head coach. So I was curious where people landed on that. A lot of people took Reed and Watson, which that's the selection I would make.
That's the selection I would make, too. I don't like Potatoes O'Brien. I don't think he's very good, and I think he's part of the reason why Deshaun Watson hasn't been able to realize his potential. And I think for me, I'm taking Andy Reid because I've seen him do it with a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, he made Alex Smith look like, you know, the second coming. He did so much with Donovan McNabb, took Michael Vick out of prison and made him a really good quarterback. Kevin Cobb had a good year under him. So, like, Andy Reid has got that track record of taking quarterbacks and bringing the best out of them and making them fantastic football players. And I think having a great head coach like Andy Reid is a difference maker in the NFL because I think there are so many slack-jawed yokels out there coaching in this league right now. Andy Reid is such a difference maker in what he does.
Bill O'Brien is kind of like AFC Jason Garrett. Like, no one actually likes Bill O'Brien. We've had two people on from Houston this week. Both of them hate Bill O'Brien. Like, I don't know a single soul that's like, you know what? That Bill O'Brien guy's a good coach. I haven't run across that person yet.
Yeah, we talked about this on the show.
Is he not likable or is he not a good coach?
I think it
might be a combination of the both. Two, honestly.
From people that I've talked to, that he tries to be Belichick and he's fake and everybody kind of sees through that. Like, when you're dealing with professional athletes, they know who you are.
That's the problem with everybody from that Patriots tree. Remember, a lot of people
said
that.
They all suck.
A lot of people said that about Eric Mangini. A lot of people said that about him, too. It's weird how that works.
I stumbled down a rabbit hole the other day, and I was going through Bill Belichick's coaching tree.
It's awful.
And it's not arguably
the
worst.
Did you hit any branches on the way down?
It's terrible. Like, his coaching tree's terrible.
Especially if you take Saban out of it.
But even in the NFL, Saban wasn't any good. But just from an NFL standpoint, it's terrible. And then if you take Saban out of it, it's god-awful.
We were talking about this yesterday on the show. I think Pat Mahomes is clearly, especially if you put it in the young quarterbacks, is clearly the best young quarterback in football. But I think a lot of people believe there's a nice gap where there's Pat and then there's Deshaun and then maybe Carson Wentz. I think the gap is not as wide as people think it is between him and Deshaun. Mm-hmm. You said you saw what Andy did with Donovan McNabb. I think Deshaun would be Donovan on steroids if he had Andy Reid. And Donovan's a borderline Hall of Famer.
And Donovan was really good.
But I think he would be him on steroids, especially if he had the weapons he had. So it's easy to me. Now, mind you, Pat's a better overall quarterback than Deshaun. So I don't know if there'd be a drop off in Houston. Like, Deshaun's won the division last year, was 11 wins last year. I think Pat would still have them winning and would be able to win even
with Hopkins
Bill O'Brien
would be all right
on the team. But I would take the combination of him because Deshaun's got something some kind of an it factor at the end of the game or something. I don't want to say Brady, but he's got something at the end of the game where you're like, I feel like he's going to get it done. And it's since high school and college and even now.
He's a winner.
Yeah, there's something. Like, my mom yesterday text me during the show. Mama's show. She's on Mama's Show Mondays on show.
She's a riot.
At 11. She said, man, I wonder what it would be like for Mahomes if he played with that pressure that he played with on Sunday each and every week, because that's what Deshaun Watson plays on
each and
every week. And like, I wonder how Pat would look if he played with the pressure that Cam Irving and Mitchell Schwartz and the rest of the line gave up on Sunday, because that's what Deshaun sees weekly. Mm-hmm. 99 sacks in 27 starts.
Is incredible.
99. Man. Pat's got like 35. 99 sacks. That's the sacks, not the pressures. And the things he was able to get out of because his athleticism, it's just insane.
To go to your point, I wonder if at least our generation, Ron, was spoiled because we got to see 7 Hall of Fame quarterbacks play at one time and the quarterback was probably 11, 12 deep. Like, if we're talking about the young quarterbacks in the NFL, I made this point from the text line. The text line has strong opinions, and I would say strong like or dislike, for every quarterback that's not Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Very split on Lamar Jackson. Very split on Baker Mayfield. Very split on Carson Wentz. Very split on Jared Goff. If we're talking young quarterbacks, there's really only two that I think the consensus among NFL fans are. These guys are good. They can carry the torch for the league. You have the Hall of Fame quarterbacks, the guys that are going to be in Canton, Rodgers, Breeze, Peyton, or not Peyton, Wilson, Brady, all Wilson. Those kind of guys. And then after that, there's just such a huge gap. Then you go to Mahomes. Then you go to Deshaun Watson. And then that class just hasn't really solidified. Andrew Luck was in that class.
I think Russell's in between that too. Yeah. He's in the middle of that group.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think once these old guys age out of the league, we'll have two great quarterbacks in this league, Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
I'm not ready to shut it down on Carson Wentz.
I like Carson Wentz a lot.
I think Carson Wentz is really, 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 really talented if he stays healthy. And you know, sometimes you get the injury
tag.
Yeah.
I felt like his were kind of freakish. I think he tore his ACL on a play where most times quarterbacks don't tear their ACL diving in. And then he had the back injury last year. But I think he's the real deal too. And I heard you yesterday, man. Listen, I'm not going to say Jared Goff is as talented as all the others, but all I know is that cat keeps putting up numbers every single year.
He outdueled Patrick Mahomes.
And he was the reason.
And that was an outdueling.
Yes,
right there.
He was the reason that they won the game. And I you watched last week against Seattle, it wasn't his fault. He did everything he needed to do, and Todd Gurley is absolutely not the same. Mm-hmm. And he did everything they needed to do. I'm much higher on Jared Goff than other people are.
Now, against Tampa, he wasn't any good. Like, I thought he was pretty poor against Tampa.
Yeah, he turns
the ball over.
They throw for like 500 yards that day, too. Yeah,
I think what happens a lot of times is I think that first impressions matter so much.
God, yes.
And it's hard for people to move off of it.
Frank Clark.
Like, if Goff had did the exact same thing that Mahomes did, didn't play his first year, that first year that he had with Sean McVay was his first year, the perception of Goff would be so incredibly different. But he was so bad that first year with Eric Fisher, mm-hmm. and then McVay came and he turned it around, that people just give all the credit to Sean McVay and they don't give any of it to Jared Goff.
Right.
I'm with you. The last 2 years, when they could run the football effectively, Goff was a top eight quarterback in the NFL. Now they have no semblance of a running game, and Goff is struggling.
Well, it makes a difference. I mean, people don't want to talk about how the running game is still a vital cog in this thing, and that's why I think Andy Reid on Sunday was terrible at his job, because he didn't even utilize the running game. Putting it in the hands of your quarterback that has a bum ankle against a bad offensive line with a defense that's, you know, bleeding out, you need to slow things down a little bit. You do have to have a good running game in this league.
For their team, they're constructed. Their running game has to be better. But it was struggling towards the end of the year in the playoffs is when Todd Gurley was really injured.
Yep.
All I know is he went into the Superdome and beat Drew Brees in the NFC Championship game and drove down at the end of the game to put him in position to win. Mm-hmm. So I don't get that on Jared.
All right, before we wrap up, the confidence index is down. It's clearly been down this week. So does this have to be not just a win, but some style, some prettiness to it on Sunday, or is it okay if it's just a W?
I think Houston's a playoff team, so I don't think you're really shooting for style points against a playoff team. Just find a way to win. The Chiefs need to focus on trying to win these two games over the next 8 days, and then they get a mini bye week. That's all I'd be focused about. I don't care how you do it. I don't care how you get it. You don't got to have any style points against Denver on a short week and a banged-up team. You got one playoff team, mm-hmm. one of the five worst teams in the NFL. Find a way to take care of home field advantage. Find a way to scrape and claw, and I don't care if you got to win that game against Denver 17-14.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and then you get 10-11 days to prepare for the biggest regular season game at Arrowhead since what? The Green Bay game? Or since the New England game on Monday Night Football? Like, it's a long time since they've had a regular season game as big as what's going to be in Kansas City in a couple weeks Sunday football.
They may have to beat Denver with a left-handed pass. The odds of that happening, I don't know.
Yeah, just win. Just win. It doesn't matter.
You guys think they do win on Sunday?
I'm picking them to win.
I think so.
Yeah, I do too. I think Travis Kelce can have himself a big day. Well, he needs to. He better.
Show from Show and Vern. You can catch him 10 to 2. Carrington Harrison for the drive, 2 to 6. Of course, right here on 610 Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us from the Chiefs Roundtable this week.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yes, sir.
Big finish coming up and what we learned this week with Billy Coons next.
Fesco in the morning.
We all love Gronk, and I think the bottom line is he hasn't put his retirement papers in. So we can always pray.
Oh.
It's a little fact that...
I didn't know that.
Well, I'm glad I could. You don't know. So you can pursue that. And when he puts his retirement papers in, although I think our kicker, Matt Nugent, he's already put his retirement papers in. So
even if he puts them in.
But that's a good academic argument that... There is hope for us still with Gronk.
NFL Network and Bob Kraft on last night.
It's Mike Nugent, not Matt. Well, there's a couple of things. God doesn't have time for your prayers about Gronk. We've got fires in California. Okay,
starving kids in Indiana.
Matt Nugent. I don't know who that is.
It's Ted's younger brother.
And when you have a couple of cocktails, the best thing to do is have an academic argument.
Right, scholars debate.
I mean, you get a lot of stuff done with a couple cocktails in you and some debate.
Right.
I mean, you solve the world's problems.
You do. And then you go away and nothing gets done.
So I wouldn't discount that.
No, we're not praying for Gronk to come back, okay? God doesn't have time for that.
So Gronk was on Fox last night because he's now working for Fox at least for a couple weeks.
And of course, we all do think God's a Patriots fan, right? Maybe he does have the time.
Maybe.
Maybe
it's the biggest.
Well, I wouldn't do this, but Jesus is a big fan.
One of the biggest sports stories, so maybe. But Gronk's kept open the possibility of playing too. I mean, he's
we do a lot of things for our kids.
We do a lot of things for our children. Absolutely. But I don't know.
So
I'd like to think there's more going on for God than Gronk.
He worked for Fox last night doing maybe Patriots that. Giants. I mean, it's like blatant. Yes. They're talking about it on the broadcast. He's coming back. It's just going to be a matter of when. Like late in the season, you will see.
And what wide receiver are they going to get?
By week 14, he'll be playing against the Chiefs.
You think Antonio Brown will be back with the Patriots?
I don't know if he's.
There was one rumor floating around that could happen.
Well, he's floated. Why don't they bring me back? They're paying me anyway.
Correct.
And then there's a video of him like sprinting yesterday, looking really fast on a practice field somewhere.
You think God's
Rob Gronkowski was looking fast?
No, Antonio Brown.
Oh.
Antonio Brown was on, or Gronk was on the turf of the Fox crew.
Right, he looked good last night.
So he looked sharp.
Yeah,
But he's
my
coming.
Wife and daughters were comparing who was the best looking one on that show last night.
It was Gronk, who, by the way,
no, they all said Strahan. Even my mother was Strahan.
Well, he's a very well dressed man. He has his own line of suits.
Strahan does. Yeah, I didn't know if you know that. Terry Bradshaw is a clear distant fourth is Michael Strahan.
Best looking on the Fox broadcast.
Why Strahan's one? I think. Gronk, well, Tony Gonzalez is probably two, Gronk three.
Don't leave out Tony in that. Yeah. He's pretty.
But I think Strahan, the whole package of Michael Strahan, he's really good on TV, guys. Like, really good on TV.
Rob Gronkowski compared Tom Brady to a squirrel last night, said he's furry, and then went on to say something about how he always gets his nut.
That's right.
So
that's your subliminal message.
I feel like Rob Gronkowski's just doing it just to get on there for like 3 weeks and put together a gag reel,
right?
So he could show the Pats when he gets back.
Look at this, Gronk.
Yeah, it's like anything else. It's all you're about
the, you're the best Gronk.
Yeah, like that's
any reason, like I don't want him to return, aside from the fact that it would make the Patriots even more dangerous than they already are, is the fact that I want to see him on the sidelines. I want to see him in the pregame. Like that's. That's where you belong.
Gronk would fit in well on this show, too. He'd laugh at every 69 joke. He'd be hysterical. That's a good reason, Ryan. I think you're right about that. I think he is putting together a gag reel.
He had some key words that his friends told him to get on the air last night.
Yes.
And he got it.
How many times have you done that? I've done that numerous times.
Oh, Edelman was the squirrel, not Brady. My apologies. Regardless, he still got on there and said a bunch of lewd comments.
We understand you can't catch every hour of the show each and every week. I mean, you could go to 610sports.com in the on-demand section or via the radio.com app, but we catch you up each and every week. Fesco's biggest fan is Billy Coons. He delivers what we learned.
Hello, this is Billy Coons, and this is what we learned on Fesco in the Morning for this week. On Monday, Bob and Josh recapped a shocking home loss by the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Indianapolis Colts, and legend Bob is an expert on any kind of bean to eat. On Tuesday, Bob and Josh said the Cleveland Browns are a train wreck, and Legend is a punk and acted like a jackass on Monday night's game in San Francisco. And Bob and Josh say fans of the Chiefs need to calm down. They lost on Sunday, and it's only one loss. And Dane and Hughes joined the show to discuss Chiefs football. On Wednesday, Bob and Josh talked about three of the MLB games going to Game 5 of the MLB playoffs. And legend Bob and I with Josh are expert on Star Wars. And legend Bob spoke to former Kansas City Chiefs great head coach Herm Edwards. On Thursday, Bob and Josh discussed the LA Dodgers choke job and Clayton Kershaw struggling in Game 5 and losing to the Washington Nationals. And legend Bob says St. Louis is the STD capital of the world. And Bob and Josh discuss Kansas head basketball coach Bill Self's comments of Snoop Dogg's performance last Friday night on opening night. And Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports stopped by to join the show and discuss Chiefs football and other NFL football. It's a great week to listen to legend Bob. I with Josh and brother Ryan. Talk to you later.
I think we had a first there.
It's like I was there.
I think we had a first there.
What was that?
I think Billy enjoys the show. I don't know that he necessarily laughs at the show. You know what I mean?
He laughs.
I don't know what he finds funny. Clearly, when he said, and Bob talked about STDs, and he started laughing.
Bob says St. Louis is the STD capital of the world.
Like he
couldn't wait to get it out.
Yeah, I think he found that funny, so that's cool.
When was the bean conversation?
Legend Bob is an expert on any kind of bean to eat.
When was that? We did discuss beans.
We did. We talked about beans. Yeah. I think we actually talked about it on Monday. We were talking about chilies or something.
I thought
something.
It was chili, yeah. I thought it was a chili.
Legend Bob is an expert on colognes.
I mean, I thought that your food expertise ended at like meatloafs and catfish. I didn't know it extended to legumes.
Yeah, it is. I'm a big legume guy.
And a dual expert on Star Wars.
Legend Bob is an expert on making meatloaf.
I don't even think you've watched all the Star Wars.
No.
How many Star Wars have you seen?
Well, the first three.
So the original trilogy.
Right.
And then didn't see any of the newer
I saw
ones?
The one that came out right after that, like where everybody dressed up like years later.
Legend Bob is an expert on how to grill a hot dog.
I think that's a lot of it.
Can you just give me the pudding?
I was working towards pudding.
And Legend Bob is an expert on pudding.
That's the only one I really ever need. Time for the big finish.
It's time for the big finish.
Wait a minute! What's happening to my special purpose?
I'll have what she's having.
Brought to you by EverNewClinics.com.
Should give you full confidence heading into the weekend, the matchup with the Texans on Sunday. Steve
Brother
Spagnuolo.
Ryan is an expert on romance and smooches.
Steve Spagnuolo, the Chiefs defensive coordinator, he's going to tell you what the issue's been in stopping the run.
It's everything. Usually when that happens like that, it's not one thing. You can't put your finger on it.
Thanks, Coach.
To us, we just go right back to the basics. I mean, it's about defeating blocks, getting off blocks, and making tackles. That's the run game.
Going back to
and
high school.
Overpopulating the ball, which I think we've done a good job of. I mean, but it's been an issue here or there. It's been identified. And so when we get out there, we try to hit them all.
So other than everything, it's all fine.
Just try to hit them all.
Legend Bob is an expert on ball punching.
So they overpopulate to the ball, okay, but everything else is not so good.
It's everything.
It's everything.
Watched that Planet Earth documentary. Oof. Overpopulation is a serious problem.
That's true, it is.
Netflix will scare the hell out of you if you let it.
Joe Mays, former NFL linebacker, he joined us earlier in the show, and we asked him about Spag saying everything is going wrong with the run defense and exactly what that should mean to us.
It basically lets me know that I'm not playing well enough. And I think every single person on that defense should take ownership in what they've been putting out there so far, which is mediocrity. So, I think, you know, just if they really pay attention to what the coach is saying, he's basically putting it out there like, look, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. You're not playing well. And we're going to need you guys to play better, especially if we want to win, because we can't give up 180 yards rushing each and every week and expect to win the game. I think we all saying that they were able to steal that Lions game. But then last week, the Colts, they were able to come in with the same game plan and run the ball down their throat.
Look, it's a litmus test.
How could they get any worse?
It's a litmus test game for the Chiefs this week. They've got to go out there and play well. This is a big-time test for the Kansas City Chiefs defense. They have to go out there, and they have to be able to stop the run. They have to give themselves some confidence, and they have to give fans confidence. Man, this has been a bad week here in Kansas City. Everybody's kind of down in the dumps on this team. This defense owes it to the fans to go out there and play well and help us turn our frowns upside down and get back to, all right, we believe that this team is going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, you didn't say frowns upside down.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
I turned that frown upside down.
I asked Show and Carrington if this one had to be. I think there does need to be a little bit of style to this one as well. I think that would go a long way, not for the Chiefs, but for like everybody else. I mean, it's cold today. It's gonna be cold tomorrow. It's been rainy all week. It's been kind of a dreary week. You're coming off the loss. I think there has to be a little bit of style. Tough opponent, I think, to have some
style points against
the Texans. But I think they. I don't know that just getting away with a victory is going to put many people at ease.
Well, especially if they get, you know, roasted in the running game. If they give up another 180 yards on the ground, people are still going to say, boy, they're still not finding a way to get it done. But they have to go out there. They have to shut down the run this week. This is a big week for this defense to show that they're men and they need to go out there and play. And I don't want to hear Spagnuolo talking to me again about everything's going wrong with this defense.
It's everything.
Just all of it. There's your big finish brought to you by Evernew.
Coach, what's going on here? Everything.
Kansas City's first intimate health clinic for men and women.
This team play?
How you really feeling, Spags? Proven results for good, very good. Visit evernewclinics.com. That's evrnuclinics.com.
So what is your favorite kind of bean to eat? Since I
black beans.
Black beans.
Yeah.
So this is refried. Those are pinto, you know, but just smashed with a little bit of lard.
The black bean soup is really good, too.
Coming up on Show and Vern, the Chiefs need Tyreek Hill back for more than just what he can do on the field. Show and Vern next on 610 Sports Radio.
It's everything.
Talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.